Christmas, Brighton Heights. Come on, somebody. Come on, are you excited about Jesus today? Come on, so excited to be with you today. Here we are with the wonder of Christmas. And we've been doing, the last couple weeks, and this week going into next, we're just doing a verse by verse of what's referred to as the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, then we're going to hit Luke chapter 2. So we're just going verse by verse, just covering it, the whole story. And I want to let you know, there's a lot of times that we read a Bible story. Like, oh, this is a good Bible story. But actually, this is a story of the Bible. See, without the Christmas story, you really don't have the whole Bible. Because Jesus had to leave heaven and come to earth for you and me. And so without this, this is kind of a pivotal moment in the Christian faith. I mean, Easter is a really big deal too. How many of y'all know Easter is a really big deal? Okay, but how many of y'all know Christmas is too? But unfortunately, Christmas gets crowded out. And so we're just going verse by verse, and this is the story of the Bible. Jesus, the light of the world, stepped out of heaven into our darkness to rescue us. I think that's a pretty cool story. Okay, it's better than any Netflix you can ever see. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And so this is what we're doing here. And this is really a story of the Bible story is really about all of our lives. We were all in darkness. Maybe there's a few people here today, maybe you're still in darkness. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Spiritual darkness. Confused. You know, the wonder of Christmas, and we always say that, like, hey, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it the most wonderful time of the year? Yeah, it's wonderful. It's amazing. It's admiring. It's like, oh, wow, I'm astonished. But there's other times, I don't know about you, but how many of you ever just wondered what this is all about? Come on, somebody. How many of you ever like, I wonder, there's a reckoning. That's really what wonder in the Bible means. There's a reckoning. There's a back and forth exchange. We got to come to a conclusion about Christmas. And if we can come to a conclusion about Christmas, it's like, okay, what does this really mean? And I think that's really the wonder. The last 8 months of our lives haven't like been all like great mountaintop experiences. I know many of you, you watch like pastors and you watch like people like that, and you just think they have no problems. I'm still waiting for that stage of life. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for that to come. It hasn't hit yet. But it's been a lot of confusion, a lot of back and forth. There's been a lot of reckoning. God, what are you doing? It's been a wonder. And this past Tuesday, my wife and I, we were up early and we were praying and we were just sitting doing what good Christian couples do. We were drinking coffee. And I remember as we were there just sharing in that moment, just God came, like I just had this moment, this like divine moment. And I said, baby, I think we're winning. And nothing changed in our lives, but it was something changed on the inside of me. Something shifted. Something moved. And I says, I think we're winning. You see, sometimes just to stay engaged, you're winning. See, sometimes just to keep trusting that God is a good God, even when you may not see he's a good God, you're winning. There's many people here today, you're going through a dark time of doubt, or maybe you're wondering where God is or who he is and all these things, but I want to say you came today. You're winning. So when we're winning and we're going through this and we're like, okay, God, what are you doing? That's really a story about the first person in the Gospel of Luke that the angel spoke to, Zechariah. And Zechariah is this person in the Bible. He's somewhere in his 60s, 70s. And he and his wife, Elizabeth, were going through a really difficult time. I can't imagine this, but they were unable to conceive children. And I can't say I know what that means. That's like, I don't know that, but I know it's painful. I know it's doubt. I know it's serious. Can we agree to that? And then there's this time of silence, 400 years, where's God? Nothing's happening spiritually. But it's interesting that Zechariah was a priest, and he was in the temple serving. So that means he was a part of the A-team at church, and he got a planning center invite, and he said yes, and he went to church to serve that day. And so he shows up, and God speaks to him in that moment. And you see, sometimes God takes the mundane areas of our lives and he creates divine moments for them. You know, what makes Natalie and I's relationship so awesome, special, and the great, great, awesome, spectacular thing that it is, it's made up of a lot of mundane moments. In a lot of everyday, ordinary, being faithful, God creates something spectacular. And there's people in the room right now, you're in the mundane, you're in the maintaining. You're wondering, when's the spectacular going to hit? When's that suddenly moment going to happen and everything changes? And God's saying, when you show up and you just keep showing up, I'm going to be there. Because after all, I rejoice with those who rejoice when they pray and get everything they want. But the people who don't, they pray and don't get everything they want, but they still trust that God's a good God and they still serve him, those are the ones I want to follow. See, that's what we find in the midst of the story. We find darkness and confusion, and there's this reckoning, there's this back and forth. There's this thing going on here, and it's an ordinary guy in the midst of the mundane, and then this good news shows up. And so the angel shows up to Zechariah, the first person. And it's interesting that in the Bible, a period of darkness in between Malachi in the Old Testament and then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, God breaks the silence, and he does it in such a way that's so spectacular. He says there's over and over people getting filled with the Holy Spirit and doing this thing called prophecy, a speaking forth of the word of God. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's this beautiful moment. Over and over and over. And I believe there's people here today, God wants to break the silence in your life. God wants to break silence in your life where you're wondering, where's God? And there's this reckoning, and you're wondering. God wants to break that silence, and God wants to move into your life in a very intimate, very close, very relational way. So the angel shows up and tells Zechariah, hey, I got good news for you. Your wife's pregnant. I don't know how many people here in your 60s or 70s. If you hear that, I mean, it's kind of good news. Are you with me? It's like, I think there's a reason God reserves this for young people. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Grandparenting's fun. When you're done with them, you take them back. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And so the angel speaks and says, your wife's pregnant here. And so I'm going to read you a couple verses earlier in the story because you got to catch this. And then the angel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. Verse 19. And it was he who sent me to bring you this good news. And the angel was like, this good news. You're tracking me. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled in their proper time. So Zechariah had trouble, embracing what God wanted to do. Now, I want to give you my translation of this. If I was Luke and I was writing this, this is how I would translate it. Okay, this is just my translation. It would be like, God says if you don't have faith, it would just be better to shut up. Is that good? Because then he was silent. He couldn't speak until it was fulfilled. And what God's saying is that listen, if you don't have something faithful to say, how about not talk? Now, how many of y'all here, you're familiar with, is the glass half full or half empty? Where's my half full people? Where's my half full people? Raise your hand. That's it. Yeah, don't be afraid. Yeah. Okay, I'm guessing that the rest of you are half empty. Come on, somebody. Because there's no in between. Come on. So I'm not going to have you raise your hand. Okay, you're either half full or half empty. Okay? But I want to tell you that looking at life like that has to do with your personality. Maybe things that happened to you, maybe the way you grew up, maybe your personality. The problem is this: most of us are trying to please God out of our personality rather than our spirituality. We're trying to forgive people out of our personality, and it doesn't work. We're trying to serve God out of our personality, and we get frustrated. We're trying to please God, and he doesn't speak to us because we're doing it out of our mind and our intellect rather than our spirituality. And God is a God of spirit. When he speaks his word, it's spiritual. You got to catch this. You see, so there's something spiritual being said. And the angel said, I'm going to do something here. And it's going to be really, really, really big because prayers feel unanswered and promises are delayed and hope is muted. And I don't know if you know this or not. And even in the first two chapters, this Christmas story, the story of the Bible, there are three fear nots. Hey, Zechariah, fear not. Hey, Mary, fear not. Hey, shepherds, fear not. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to serve God, you're going to need some fear nots. As a matter of fact, if you don't have a fear not in your life, you're probably not serving. Because God's going to ask you to do things that's going to cause you to fear. You're going to wonder, what? See, that's wonder. That's reckoning. That's like the wonder of Christmas. What? You want me to what? Yeah, there's fear nots. See, most of us, we believe... Come on, we sang it in a song today. God can do anything. He's limitless, right? How many of y'all believe that God can do all things? How many of you believe that God can use you, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Come on. Most of us believe that until we receive an offering. No, I'm being honest. We believe it until we don't. Because really, we don't really believe it for us. We believe it for other people. And I'm not those other people. And I want to tell you today, you're amongst God's people, so you're that people. And so in the midst of this doubt, in the midst of the pain, God says to Zechariah here, and this is it. Okay, this is going to happen. And so we're going to start shifting in the story here. And Zechariah means, this is what it means here, Yahweh has remembered. And I want to tell you this today. There's a lot of people that need to hear this right now. God, Yahweh, God, referred to in the Old Testament, he has remembered. He remembers you. Not only does he remember you, there's many people in here by your faithfulness, by you serving God day in, day out, by you still showing up in the temple to worship and do what God asks you to do, you make God smile. I want you to catch that. Most people have this picture of God in their mind that he's up in heaven and he's just like, he's waiting to get you. I'm serious. Unfortunately, most Christians go their whole life and waiting like that. Rather than God's up in heaven like, hey, you make me smile. Not because of all the spectacular things you do, just because of who you are. Our kids make me smile. Our grandkids make me smile just when they show up. They don't have to do anything. Are you with me? See, that's the Father's heart. And many people don't understand the Father's heart. You're smiling. He's pulling for you. He wants to bring you into the fulfillment and promises on your life and for your life. He has something for you. You have to grab a hold of that. See, that's the Christmas story. Yahweh has remembered here. But he struggles to believe. So what's your response going to be to the word of God? Okay. So we fast forward. And Zechariah's wife Elizabeth has a son. It's a cousin to Jesus. John the Baptist. Okay. And so John was born before Jesus. And so when the son was born, Zechariah wrote his name. He was going to be called John. And then he was able to speak again. I want to tell you, many people in the room right now, that when you speak faith, God shows up. And God is shifting some mindsets right now into faith based on who God is, not based on your goodness. Let's speak faith. Let's not be silent, and let's not allow God to silence us. Let's speak faith. See, we have to get rid of our vocabulary. We have to stop praying, God, humble me. You gotta don't ever pray that prayer. Because actually, humility in the Bible, humility is something you do on your own. If you wait for God to do it, it's too late. Where's my parents out there? How many parents here have given your kids every opportunity to repent and humble themselves? How many of you gave them too many chances? What happens when you get to the end of your rope? I'm going to humble you. Come on, am I right or wrong? Come on, am I right or wrong? Because if you wait for Dad to do it, it's too late. So we got to humble ourselves and speak faith and give up our negativity and give up like God can't and God won't and God shouldn't. No, God will because it's his word. So Zechariah can speak now. And so let's look at this here in Luke 1:67. And then John's father, that's Zechariah, was filled with the... What was he filled with? Yeah, and gave this prophecy over and over in the Christmas story, the story of the Bible. When the Holy Spirit shows up, people spoke forth the word of God. And so today, are you receiving my words today as a cool little lecture or as words from heaven? You got it. That's the struggle. You got to feel attention. What's God doing in you? Is faith being built in our lives? Or is it just a really cool little lecture, a little cool little saying, and we're going to go about our day? Is this the word of God? So his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gave this prophecy. And so he's speaking now prophecy. When God breaks the silence, there's a speaking forth. Now this is called, what we're about to read, it's a Latin word. It's a Latin word called Benedictus. It's the first word in Latin for this phrase. Like last week, Pastor Ben covered the Magnificat, and that was Latin, okay? This is a Latin word for blessed. The benediction is the final blessing. Like at the end, when we're done today, Pastor Ben's going to stand up. He's going to say, "All rise." And then he's going to say, "Let's bow our heads for the benediction." And most of you are going to say, "What? What is that? What's he doing?" You know? But that's what he's going to do today. Okay, can you do that today? You're going to do that today, okay? And then we're all going to bow our heads for the final blessing. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Y'all with me? That's where you get the word benediction. So this is really called the Song of Zechariah. That's what it's called. Like Mary's song, Mary had a song, Zechariah had a song. Are you feeling the theme here? Everybody gets a song. There's a song going on here. And so this is his song. This is in Latin. In traditional circles, this would be like that. It's the orthodoxy. It's this religious moment, that benediction. We don't use terms like that. But this is his song. So let's look at Zechariah's song now. Now I want to tell you, first of all, if you want the Holy Spirit to speak and you're looking for a Holy Spirit moment, how many of y'all would like God to really speak to you and have a good relationship with you? How many of y'all are looking for that? I have just the thing for you. It's called prayer and fasting. And in January, we're marking off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the first three, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for the first 3 weeks. And we're going to do without food. And so we're going to decrease distraction and increase devotion. Decrease distraction, increase devotion. With the whole purpose of God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see you and experience you. Fasting isn't something that like is for the spiritual people. Jesus said, when you do this. So when you do this, followers of mine, when you do this. Now, many, this might be new to you, okay? I'm going to give you the easiest way to start fasting is start, like, eat like a normal dinner. Don't go to the Hostess buffet. And then, like, don't eat for 24 hours, okay? Just, and then pray during that time. When you'd normally be eating, pray. Okay, if you don't normally eat lunch, not eating lunch is not fasting. That's just doing what you normally do. See, just give it a shot and see what God will do in your life. God's going to do some really great things. Okay? So here we go. Praise and worship and fasting, praise and worship re-centers, recalibrates, and refocuses my faith in God. Why did we sing songs today? Why did we come here today to sing a song? This is the song. Is that correct? Because it recalibrates and refocuses our minds on Christ. Did anybody else need it beside me? Thank you. Thank you. The rest of you just went along for the ride, just for us to come on. Nice. No, I'm saying it recalibrates us. Why did we come here for the word today? Because it refocuses and recalibrates our life and faith in God. Now, see, we don't catch that. Songs, that's what songs do. Am I right? And then, so even when we receive an offering, I'm going to tell you what tithing does. When you give 10%, it recalibrates, refocuses, and recenters my life on faith in God. God is my protector. God is the one who got my back. God is the one who's going to have my future. All these things do the same thing. They honor God. And so Zechariah moves here and he says, blessed be, praised be. Okay, here we go. Verse 68. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of a servant, David. Look at all the verbs there. Look, because he has visited and redeemed. Those are very action words. Okay? And he has sent us a Savior. Jesus was sent for you and me. He was sent on a rescue mission. See, Christmas isn't about us seeking God. It's a story about how God came looking for us. Now, you got to catch that. Christmas is he came looking for you. He came not just to look for you, but to be sent to be with us, to be for us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's a pretty big deal. Okay? And so he was sent, and he visited, and he did all these things. They're very action-oriented. So he was on a rescue mission, and you and I are part of his rescue mission. Seek and rescue. Yeah, and this word redeemed is so powerful. He not only rescues us on a mission, he redeems our lives. That's the payment, a full ransom of a price to free a slave. Jesus paid the price for you. How much is a soul worth? It's worth what you're willing to pay for it. Jesus gave his life, pure and spotless. Come on, somebody. It settles it that you're worth it. I'm worth it. I'm worth the price paid for me. He sent, he redeems. This is what gives my life value. This is what makes him smile. Are you with me? It's all about Christmas here. And this redeem, and before you leave today, you're going to have an opportunity to act on behalf of others and redeem their life. How many of y'all want to be like Jesus? Well, and just before you leave today, you're going to hear about an opportunity to redeem people's lives that are in slavery. And how much is a life worth? You're going to find out how much a life is worth before you go home. No, I mean, you're going to find out. And we all get to participate in it. And Pastor Gary's going to come and share that in just a little bit. But it's right here in this song. Look at the song he was singing. Praise God. He's visited. He redeemed. He saves. He was sent. Are you tracking me here? Are you feeling it? And then verse 70, just as he promised through the holy prophets long ago, now he will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. Verse 72, he has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore as an oath to our ancestor Abraham. See, this is Jesus unfolding promise to you and me. That's the song. That's the song we're going to sing. And that's the song we continue to sing. And I think it's a pretty cool song. Are you with me? It's so good, but I don't know about you, but in the midst of the doubt, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the wondering, there's hurt and there's pain and there's wondering, what's God really doing? And this is the problem here. This is really the problem here. Are we interpreting God's faithfulness through our own circumstances or interpreting our circumstances through God's faithfulness? I want you to catch this. Most of us are interpreting God's faithfulness through what I'm going through right now, rather than what I'm going through right now, interpreting God through it here. Are you with me? See, am I seeing things through God's faithfulness, or am I just seeing my circumstances? And see, through my circumstances, I see God's faithful. Are you with me? I may not be enjoying everything I'm going through right now, but God's still a good God and he's faithful. That's the song. That's the song. And so no matter if your stockings are hung by the chimney with care or not, or if they're empty or full, makes no difference. God's redeemed us. He's rescued me. This is the story here. He's redeemed. He rescues, he redeems, and he restores. Are you with me? That's the message. That's the wonder of Christmas, but we're forced. Is this just going to be one day a year? Or is this going to affect us all year? What's it going to be? It's the wonder. It's the reckoning. It's the questioning here. That's the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is those things. Rescued. It's redeemed and restored. That's the message of the Bible. Okay, Luke 1:74. So we have been rescued from our enemies. So what? So we can serve God. You've been rescued so you can serve. This is how we know that Christmas means something to you. You have a servant's heart. When you have a servant's heart, you're demonstrating Jesus, because he didn't come to be served, but to serve. So we're never more like Jesus than when we lay down our lives and we serve. That says it right there. So we can serve God without fear. In what? Holiness and righteousness, as long as we shall live. Guess how long you get to serve? As long as you shall live. Okay? Guess how long we get to be apart? As long as we shall live, we get to be righteous and holy. I'm being restored. I'm constantly being restored in righteousness and holiness to be more like him. That's the process here. The rest of my life, I'm going to do this. That's it, man. Okay, now in the text, the song changes. Zechariah is talking about Jesus, 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 Jesus. And now the text switches to his son. Okay, now how do you know this is a godly text? Because Zechariah didn't say, you know, my son John should be the lead in the play. My son John, he's a much better pitcher than the guy on the mound. Now, this is how you know that Zechariah was a man of God. He knew his son's place, and it was to serve. Most of us would say, no, I want my kid should be first place. My kid should be number one in the play. Am I right? Okay, don't raise your hand. Okay? But he didn't say that at all here. He's embraced his son's role. Verse 76, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. How many of you know that's a pretty big deal right there? This John the Baptist guy has a pretty big role. Okay, he may not be the lead in the play, but he's very significant in the play. Are you with me? So this is John the Baptist's role. What's his role right now? Three things: to prepare the way, to proclaim forgiveness, and to point to Jesus. That's what it is. This is John the Baptist's role. He's going to prepare the way. He's going to proclaim, and he's going to point. He prepares, he proclaims, and he points. That's what he does. That's what John the Baptist does. Now, how are you and I going to be like John the Baptist? On your seat, I want you to pick up one of these they were on your seat there. You pray through them on the floor or kick them over. I want you to have one of these in your hand right now. It's a Christmas invite to come out to church on Tuesday evening at 6:30. There's somebody in your life right now that you can hand this invitation to, and you can say, hey, why don't you come with me? That's all. Hey, just come with me. There's somebody you work with. There's a neighbor. there's a family member. I mean, my goodness, you can take a picture of this right now and send it to them. As a matter of fact, if you want to get your phone out right now and you take a, just hold this in your hand, take a picture of the other side and like, and send it to them right now. I give you permission to use your phone in church. Don't check your text. Just take the picture and send it in Jesus' name. See, I want to be like John, come on, I want to point the way. I want to point. I want to proclaim. I want to say this is Jesus. I want to point to him. This was his role. That was his role. How many people, you can do that. I want you to take some of these with you. I want you to invite people. Verse 78, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The shadow of death means to be under the constant awareness of mortality and fear. Wow. I don't know if you know this or not, but light does not negotiate with darkness. Light expels darkness. Now I want you to catch this. Like the light, when they turned the lights on up here, it didn't say, hey, darkness, can I have some room here? Hey, is this okay? No. The light, Jesus, stepped into our darkness and didn't negotiate, pushed out the darkness. And the more I walk in the light, the less darkness I have, but the more light I can exhibit. Are you with me? And the point of Zechariah's song about Jesus and about his son John is all about the light of the world. And that's what we're going to point to on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, we're going to get together. Just everything stops. Everything stops in the midst of this busy, chaotic world, and allow Jesus to be the rescuer, redeemer, and restorer of our lives. That's what this is about. That's the wonder of Christmas. That's being restored. So we go from doubt to continue to show up to God releases us to speak again and speak faith. And we have a song about him. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? Now, many people in the room right now, you have this wonder going on. There's this wonder. There's this thing going on in your head. I want to believe it, but I'm not sure I can believe it. And I don't know where you've been in your life. I don't know where you are right now, but I know this. God brought us here today not to go through some ritual, but to create a divine moment for all of us in the room. Every person in the room right now, are you with me? Every one of us. I need a divine moment. I need to stop and once again say, God, I don't want doubt in my life. I want to have faith in my life. And I don't just want to be caught in being a realist. I want to be in a faithist. I want to be full of faith and hear God and respond to what you're doing, God. That's what I want to do. So God, I pray for every person who can hear my voice right now, Lord. Lord God, straight from heaven to my ears, through my heart, to my voice, to their ears, through their heart, Lord God, and now to their feet and the way they walk, Lord. Let every person in this room right now, Lord God, take bold steps into their future, Lord, with faith, embracing Jesus. Embracing Jesus as the rescuer, redeemer, and restorer of their lives, Lord God. Let that be so, Father. Now, if you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time when Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, if you don't have a day, a moment where you said, Jesus, I have sinned, Jesus came to forgive my sin, not only the sin of the whole world, but my sin. Jesus, forgive my sin. Forgive me. God, cleanse me. Redeem my life. And ask you, Jesus, to lead me now into my life, that every day would be Christmas Day, a day of walking with Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time when Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, I'm not asking you to make a mental decision, but a spiritual one, saying, I want my life to be redeemed. I want my life to be new. I really want this newness of life that only Jesus can give. If that's you and you've never done that before, I want you to do something so joyful and so exciting. I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Say, Pastor, that's me right now. Is there anybody here today you say, man, that's me. I got to have this today in Jesus' name. There's two ways to respond. You can either raise your hand, and I realize some of y'all just don't want to do that. You can take your phone, and there's a tap card in front of you. And if you put your phone on there and you fill that out about, I want to begin a relationship with God, Pastor Ben will pray for you, and I will pray for you this week, and we'll believe God for big and great things in and on your life. Because this is why God put our church here. This is why God put our lives here together, for the rescuing, the redeeming, and the restoration that only Jesus can do. So God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for everybody here today. Lord God, let this be a great week, not because it's Christmas, but because of Jesus Christ, and we found him in our Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I just want to say, on behalf of Natalie and I, Merry Christmas to you. So, so awesome to be with you today. Could you please be seated? Pastor Ben's going to come up, and then Pastor Gary's going to come up with some great things for you today.
Amen. Let's give Pastor Rick a round of applause for that word. I'm going to invite Pastor Gary Paladin.